Great book. And we've come to verse 3 of chapter 11. So Hebrews 11, verse 3. I've not taken a chunk this morning. I've just taken one verse. And the reason I took one verse is because this is something that's very dear to my heart, or at least what this is speaking about. You might say that this has to do with the Christian worldview. You might say that this verse has to do with the fundamental truth that underlies everything that we believe. It says this: by faith, we are God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, before I continue, I need to make a correction and an apology for a mistake that I made last week. It didn't come out very well. I want to correct what I said. I did say that the word worlds there, verse 3, which in Greek is the term aeonis, aeon, we get our word aeon from that, could be translated ages, and indeed it could, and it usually or often is, and that it does not concern the creation of the earth. What I should have said was this. The word worlds there is translated that way because the Greek term is in the plural, but it does not mean worlds as far as what you and I might think, as in other planets and other worlds, inhabited worlds out there. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just a way in Greek, and Hebrew has the same way of doing things, of expressing using a plural. Okay? So the idea here is of the creation. So we might say by faith we understand that the whole universe or the entirety of space and time were framed by the word of God. So there we are. I'm not above mistakes. Of course, I know that. I just don't let it on to you lot. But that did need correcting. So please forgive me for that. Let's move on to something better. The first verse that we looked at last week says this: now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without going over what we talked about last week, the main burden of that was that faith is reasonable, it's rational. Now, it is true that you can believe in something that isn't true. It is certain that you can believe many things that are pure poppycock. And people do. Some people believe that there is a multiverse. In fact, many of our top scientists and people in lab coats believe this. They believe that there's not just one universe, but there are billions of universes. And the reason that they believe this is because the fact existence and the miracle of the existence of trees and flowers and bugs and beasts is far too difficult to explain from an accidental Big Bang. Big explosions don't create complexity like you see in front of you. They do not create cells. Now, it used to be fine 50 years ago, even 25 years ago, to say that, because we didn't know as much about the cell as we know now. But nowadays, they know so much about the cell and its intricacies and its complexities and its difficulties that it has become just too plain and too obvious that there's some kind of design there. And it's the same with the cosmos too. Too many things have to be right in order for life on this earth to be what it is. So how are they to explain it? Well, they could explain it through a designer. After all, when we see design, we come across design, we can tell it from something that is accidental, can't we? Even a child can do that. But that would mean believing in God. And they can't do that. They're far too smart to do that. And so they have to believe in billions and billions of universes. And what that does is it enlarges and expands the amount of chance happenings that can occur, do you see? And in one of those universes, among the chance happenings of all of those universes, certainly somewhere, life as we know it must have arisen. That is a great example of having faith in a bunch of nonsense. That is blind faith, folks. That is blind faith, exhibit number one. And it is irrational to believe it. That is not what biblical faith means at all. Biblical faith is reasonable faith. Now, I gave examples last week of the word of somebody who is extremely trustworthy. Their word is their bond. You know them well. You know that they mean what they say, and you trust what they say. If they make you a promise, they are going to come through on it. Yes? Yes. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? You know it through faith. There's no other way that you can know it, because you can't go into the future. You know that numbers exist. I love this example. You know that numbers exist, but anybody here, come and show me the number 3. Show it to me. You're putting up 3 fingers there. Those are fingers. That's not the number 3, that's 3 fingers. Show me the number 3, go to a cupboard and find it for me. Go to a store and order it, go to Amazon, see if they've got it. Give it to me, I'll burn it, and there'll be no more number 3. You'll have to count 1, 2, 4 from now. Folks, why do you believe in number 3? You can't see it, you can't feel it. Faith. It's reasonable to believe it. This is the biblical idea of faith. You believe in God. You believe in God like you believe in the number 3. It's reasonable. In fact, without God, there wouldn't be a number 3. So, folks, faith cannot grasp what isn't there. But it can grasp what is there. and it is supposed to. And when it does that, life starts to make sense. And so, our writer tells us that by faith we understand. By faith we understand. And the historical figures that are going to be spoken about in the rest of this chapter all are examples of just that very thing. By faith they understood. Abraham, when he went on his journey, he understood that he was going to be taken to a particular place. He understood that. How did he understand it? Because he saw it? Because he felt it? Because God showed it to him on a TV screen before he went there? No. He believed. He believed. That's how he knew. And sure enough, that's where he ended up. By faith, he understood. Now, what this writer is saying here is very important. By faith we understand that the world, the creation, we weren't there when life was created. And the earth. We weren't there, nobody else was. Adam was there pretty soon after, a few days. You say, you're crazy, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe a six-day creation, that Adam was created 5 days after the first, you know, that the heavens and earth were created? I certainly do. I certainly do. We're talking about God here. What does he need billions of years for? The very idea of God saying, okay, we'll create the heavens and the earth, and then we'll, I'll go and have a cup of tea for a few billion years. And, oh, yeah, it's about time I did the next bit. It's ridiculous. When God decides he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Yeah. Now, what this means is that the supernatural, God... I'm not talking about ghosties and things like that, okay? I'm talking about the supernatural, super above. Above the natural, more than you can see. More than you can sense with your five senses. The supernatural lays behind the natural. Those things that you can detect with your five senses. That is so important. That you understand that. It is a basic thing. Please don't live your life just by your five senses. Oh, if I can't see it, and if I can't taste it, if I can't hear it, then it doesn't exist. What a ridiculous way of carrying on, honestly. You've been given reason, haven't you? How do we reason? We reason by using what's called the laws of logic. You do know that, yes? The laws of logic. I know that they are difficult to find in mainstream media and mainstream entertainment nowadays. But they exist. Invisibly. Invisibly. You can't show me a law of logic. You can write one down, but you can't show me one. But you have to reason by them, so the invisible, the supernatural, lies behind the natural. You can't think properly, you can't count properly without the invisible, without these things that come from the mind of God. By faith, you understand that. And you live by it. When people neglect God, well, then they start to neglect reason. When they neglect faith, they start to be absurd. There was God. Do you think this planet's been here forever and ever and ever? Of course not. God created this world. God created this order here. I've got a nice watch here that my wife bought me and insists that I wear. And I've got used to it. Okay? Now, this watch is reliable because God created the world in a certain way. That means that this thing corresponds to what goes on out there. The creation was made by God, the God of the Bible, the God who is reasonable, the God who is good, the God who has given us all these things that we take for granted. Behind what we see is the hand of God. The hand of God upholding this world, upholding history, even though history sometimes seems to take very strange and deviant paths. God is working it towards an end. That end, that consummation being the second coming of his Son and the kingdom that's set up by him. And then the new heavens and the new earth. The hand of God is behind the natural world. Estimated is ahead of our present reality. The hand of God goes before us, reaching into the future, assuring our future, making sure that things terminate where God wants them to terminate. Can you remember, and we'll probably hear much more of this, but can you remember what, a couple of years ago, a few of our politicians and other crazy people were saying that we've got 10 years. Global warming's got to be dealt with, otherwise the planet will be it, in, you know, be gone in 10 years. Who remembers that? Can you remember? No, they were saying, well, it may have done, but they said it actually a couple of years ago. We've got 10 years to do something about the planet. Folks, I'm not going to get into all of that, but I am going to say that God is doing something about the planet. Now, that's not an open invitation to drop litter everywhere and to pollute everything. That would be against or a misuse of God's good creation, would it not? There is a Christian reason for ecology, if you like. But the very idea that we've got 10 years to fix this problem, and if we'd, a few years to fix this problem, is insane. And it's insane because it does not have faith in God. At root, it does not have faith in God. So secondly, this passage warns us that we cannot or should not entertain contrary explanations of this world. By faith, we understand that the worlds, that the universe, that this cosmos was framed by the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is not chaotic. The Word of God is not babble. When God wanted Babel, he went to the city of Babylon, Babel, and he confused languages so that one person couldn't understand the next person. God himself created one language. And that one language meant that people could speak to each other, and they could speak to God, and they could speak to each other about God. Confusion was a judgment. The Word of God is always creative, constructive. reliable, trustworthy. When it comes to you and it makes a promise to you, you can grasp it, you can God giving you some good advice for bad times. God and God's word is wisdom, founded on the unfathomable knowledge of our good Creator. God knows what He's made. He knows how to uphold it. He knows how to run things in it. He knows your role within it. By faith, you understand that. Nothing that plainly contradicts the Bible's creation story is true. It's nonsense, folks. And I'm not going to rattle these explanations off, but of course evolution would be the main one, wouldn't it? Or theistic evolution, where God used evolution. What would He use something so ridiculous and absurd as evolution for? That would be man's insane speculation dreamt up in order to get rid of God. That's what evolution is. Without God, that's why our liberal friends like to assure us that our you know within your own heart how wicked and how dark reading the newspapers, if you do that anymore. Coming across or hearing about how one person has mistreated another person, you know how prevalent human wickedness is. This idea that I'm not harming anybody else, how naive and stupid that is. That's an unthinking person's way of looking at the world. Of course, if you do something that is evil, it has knock-on effects, whether you feel those effects or somebody else does. And usually somebody else does. Nothing that contradicts the Bible's doctrine of man can be entertained by the Christian. I'm afraid the truth is, you and I, without Christ, are sinners. Our hearts are evil. That's what Jesus said. Our hearts are evil. Once we accept that, once we believe, I'm going to say it, it's coming out right now. Once we accept that we are dirt bags, we will not rely upon ourselves. We will go to God for His grace, for His strength, for His wisdom, for His righteousness. It's all about Him, folks. It's not about us. What we are in Jesus Christ is because of Jesus Christ. Further, we cannot entertain contrary explanations of the world. Now, when I mean the world, I mean the world system. I mean the way the world runs itself. the way people view the world, the way that people view history. Folks, we have to employ faith in order to understand this world properly. Because if we don't, we'll put our faith and we'll put our hopes in the wrong thing. We'll put them in rulers and we'll put them in politicians and we'll put them in rich guys with big smiles. We'll put them in our hopes in Hollywood. We'll put our hopes anywhere but in the one who is invisible but is there and who we ought to be believing in. By faith, we understand that the worlds were not made of things which are visible. They're made of things which are invisible. That is the Bible explanation. It's not God plus a heap of dirt. Okay, what am I going to do with this dirt? Okay, oh, I'll make a world out of it. It's God alone at the beginning. He is the only one who is eternal, who is everlasting. And he, because he is eternal and everlasting and has granted us everlasting life, if we're in Christ, we will have everlasting life. Do you see that? Faith grasps that, how reasonable that is. And so, by faith, Noah built a boat. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac, his beloved son, his only son, the one he'd been praying for all those many years. Offered him up to God because God said, go and take him up Mount Moriah and make him an offering to me. That seems like a crazy thing to do. But Abraham said it. He knew God had said it, not the devil. Now, God did not accept the sacrifice. Of course he didn't. He wanted to test Abraham's faith. He wanted to see how Abraham would reason. And do you know how Abraham reasoned? Abraham believed that God would raise him up from the dead. Look at verse 19. Abraham concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. This is how Abraham's faith was employed. Well, this is the one you've said that through Isaac, your seed's going to be called. So if I kill him, you're going to have to raise him up from the dead again. Because it's you said Isaac. That's faith. That's how faith reasons. Now, God's not going to ask you to do something like that, but he may ask you to do something, then you think, how on earth this doesn't make sense? This situation doesn't seem to make any sense to me. I know it seems to be the way I'm supposed to go, but I just don't want to go that way. There's an easier path that I can follow. Hey, why not employ faith and trust that God can do what you can't do, can see what you can't see. By faith, you understand that you don't have to have all the answers. By faith, you understand that you can take the steps forward that God wants you to take and leave everything else to Him. By faith, you can believe that 2,000 years ago, there was a man called Jesus. This man was a son of God. He came from heaven. He was born as a man. He died a cruel death on a Roman cross, and 3 days later he rose bodily from the death and gloriously from the death, and he will be coming back. You can believe that. It's reasonable to believe that. And if you believe that, folks, God, the God who made the world, the God who ensures the future, will grant you everlasting life and forgiveness of your sins. I've been teaching through the second part of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress on Fridays. And it's been a wonderful experience for me. I've read Pilgrim's Progress many times, but I hadn't come back to it for years. And the pilgrims come across a man called Feeble-Minded. He's feeble-minded so that he has weaknesses, and sometimes he gets confused, and sometimes he gets trapped by circumstances and so on. But as far as understanding why he's a pilgrim is concerned, he is absolutely crystal clear. In the first part of Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim, Christian, gets to where he can see the celestial city is right at the river. The river that stops him from getting to the celestial city. He sees it right across the river. But there's no bridge to cross the river. He's told that he has to wade through it. As he wades through it, he goes up over his head. And he's pulled up out of it. And he gets onto the other side. That's a symbol in Bunyan's allegory of death. Going through the river that we all must go through, yes? And he gets safely to the celestial city. This is what Mr. Feeble Mind, a true pilgrim, says about his pilgrimage. Listen to this. As to the principal thing, I thank him that loves me. I am fixed. My way is before me. My mind is beyond the river that has no bridge. That is understanding by faith. Let's pray. So gracious Heavenly Father, help us to be people of faith. We use our five senses, and we thank you for them. They help us to navigate the natural world, but we need faith to navigate the supernatural world, to see the reality behind our reality, to act on your word and trust it, to let it be our guide, to let it explain your creation to us and our futures to us. Your word tells us that we are sinners and that we are in a hopeless state unless we are rescued by you. And Jesus has come, and Jesus has died for our sins. And anyone who trusts in Jesus will be granted forgiveness and eternal life and an inheritance with you, called a son, a daughter of God. We grasp this reality by faith. We don't grasp that which isn't there, but that which is there. Lord, help us to be encouraged by this truth, to go forward upon its reality, its grounds, to find hope from it. And any, Lord, that have not received Jesus as their Savior, I pray that right now, Lord, you would convict them of their sins and show them that Jesus is the way. May they embrace his offer by faith and be saved. Amen. Thank you.